The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
ST Senior Health Correspondent Salma Khalik says it's time to resume travel with certain precautions in place.
I'm Olivia Kui.
Now I'm Haryanto Dimana. You can subscribe to the Straits Times channel so you never miss a single episode.
You know, Haryanto, December holidays coming, a traditionally period when, you know, families travel overseas. Of course, we can't do that at the moment, but is it time for travel to start again with safeguards in place?
We explored this topic last week, and in a piece, Senior Health Correspondent Salma Khalik writes that there is no reason why tourism travel cannot also resume in a limited way with certain precautions. So she lists a few ways travel could work.
That's right. Well, one way to handle incoming visitors would be to not quarantine them if their visit is limited to certain areas and to have precautions taken to prevent them from passing the disease to the local community. That means such visitors have to stick to a predetermined itinerary. For example, certain hotels could be used exclusively for them. Restaurants and other facilities at these hotels will be closed to locals. Staff serving visitors will have to stay on site or in designated places.
The tourists may be taken on tours but should not be allowed to leave the tour bus. Alternatively, certain tourist attractions could be reserved exclusively for tourists for a couple of days a week. Staff working on so-called tourist days would need to take precautions and everything has to be disinfected before the local days.
Well, similar tours could be organised for Singaporeans wanting to travel overseas, where all activities are in a confined area. These travellers will need to serve quarantine or stay-home notice on their return to Singapore, but they'll be quarantined only once, not twice.
Salma joins us now to take this discussion further. Hi, Salma. Salma, you proposed a few scenarios and measures for inbound and outbound travellers. Some experts say, though, that these are difficult to implement reliably. Others say unrestricted tourism from countries with minimal or very low levels of transmission should be allowed. Is there a compromise there?
Well, actually, I think everything in COVID-19 is a matter of compromising. So it depends very much on our ability to cope with visitors, whether we can have them come in and not infect our locals. So these are just suggestions I've thrown out. We need the experts to really look at them and see how they can be implemented and whether they can be implemented safely. My whole point of the story is actually to get people talking and thinking about this subject.
Right. Well, people are definitely talking about travel, right, whenever we can do that. So we already have green lanes with a few countries, as well as general travel arrangements with New Zealand and Brunei. So as Singapore continues to discuss opening its borders with other parts of the world, Salma, would a more nuanced, fluid approach address concerns about safety?
Well, you see, the trouble is when it comes to travel, one country doesn't decide. It's never a unilateral decision. It has to depend on the other side. You mentioned New Zealand and Brunei, for example. So we have opened up to visitors from those places. The question is, they have not reciprocated, so we can't have Singaporeans going there. Travel is always a two-way process, and it depends on the other countries. Countries that have a lot of COVID-19, for example, have quite porous borders, they really don't care. So, for example, I'm sure we have no problems going to the US or to Britain. Do we want people to go there?
Now, say more travellers are allowed in. Does Singapore have the manpower and resources to carry out safe management measures and other logistical concerns, especially if measures are going to be long-term?
Right. Okay, when people come in, at the moment, they have to stick to a fixed itinerary. So that's easy to manage. It's only when visitors are allowed in and allowed to do roam around freely like they used to, then the problems may arise. The other question you need to ask is, where are these people coming in from? If they're coming from countries where there is very, very low community transmission, then the chances are it'll be quite safe. I guess we have to manage on the run. You know, you have so many people coming in and then you see how the society manages, whether it leads to an increase in COVID cases. If it doesn't, then maybe we can increase the numbers a little bit more. And we need to do it a step at a time. You can't say suddenly, okay, right, I'll open all my doors and everybody can come in. You can't do that. So if you do it one step at a time, I'm sure we should be able to manage.
Moving away from travel, as you know, 1 million people around the world have died from COVID-19. And it's, of course, a grim milestone that was passed over the weekend. So we're still waiting for a viable vaccine and seeing how different countries have managed the pandemic. Does it sort of signal how they respond when a vaccine does become available? Because we're already seeing wealthier nations snapping up the vaccine stocks.
Yes, well, that's a bit difficult because government is responsible to its own people. And yet, you know, they need to have a social conscience to help the countries that are not as well off. WHO has started this COVAX facility, of which Singapore is a signatory. The idea of that is to try to make sure that countries, poorer countries, do get their share of vaccines. Countries also must realize that if you vaccinate only your population, then you still cannot travel. You can't open your borders. Whereas if globally we can bring COVID-19 under control, then the world's economy will go back to normal a lot faster. So again, it depends very much on the vaccine production. If there is enough, I'm sure the richer countries don't mind paying for extra vaccines to help others. But if the production is very limited and there isn't that much to go around, then you can't be surprised that countries say, I need at least so many for my own people first before I worry about everybody else.
Well, Salma, thank you so much for joining us today. We've been speaking to senior health correspondent at The Straits Times, Salma Kalik.
You can read both of Salma's pieces over at straitstimes.com. The links are in the description below if you're watching us on YouTube.